The Wheel of Time by Henry James, Part 1. "And your daughter," said Lady Greyswood, "tell me about her. She must be nice."
"Oh, yes, she's nice enough. She's a great comfort." Mrs. Knocker hesitated a moment, and then she went on, "Unfortunately, she's not good-looking, not a bit."
"That doesn't matter when they're not ill-natured," rejoined insincerely Lady Greyswood, who had the remains of a great beauty.
"Oh, but poor Fanny is quite extraordinarily plain. I assure you it does matter. She knows it herself. She suffers from it. It's the sort of thing that makes a great difference in a girl's life."
"But if she's charming, if she's clever," said Lady Greyswood, with more benevolence than logic. "I've known plain women who were liked."
"Do you mean me, my dear?" her old friend straightforwardly inquired.
"But I'm not so awfully liked."
"You?" Lady Greyswood exclaimed. "Why, you're grand."
"I'm not so repulsive as I was when I was young, perhaps, but that's not saying much."
"As when you were young," laughed Lady Greyswood. "You sweet thing, you are young. I thought India dried people up."
"Oh, when you're a mummy to begin with," Mrs. Knocker returned with her trick of self-abasement. "Of course, I've not been such a fool as to keep my children there. My girl is clever," she continued, "but she's afraid to show it. Therefore, you may judge whether, with her unfortunate appearance, she's charming."
"She shall show it to me? You must let me do everything for her."
"Does that include finding her a husband? I should like her to show it to someone who'll marry her."
"I'll marry her," said Lady Greyswood, who was handsomer than ever when she laughed and looked capable.
"What a blessing to meet you this way on the threshold of home! I give you notice that I shall cling to you. But that's what I meant. That's the thing the want of beauty makes so difficult, as if it were not difficult enough at the best."
"My dear child, one meets plenty of ugly women with husbands," Lady Greyswood argued, "and often with very nice ones."
"Yes, mine is very nice. There are men who don't mind one's face, for whom beauty isn't indispensable, but they are rare. I don't understand them. If I'd been a man about to marry, I should have gone in for looks. However, the poor child will have something," Mrs. Knocker continued. Lady Greyswood rested thoughtful eyes on her.
"Do you mean she'll be well off?"
"We shall do everything we can for her. We're not in such misery as we used to be. We've managed to save in India, strange to say, and 6 months ago my husband came into money, more than we had ever dreamed of, by the death of his poor brother. We feel quite opulent, it's rather nice, and we should expect to do something decent for our daughter. I don't mind its being known."
"It shall be known," said Lady Greyswood, getting up. "Leave the dear child to me."
The old friends embraced, for the porter of the hotel had come in to say that the carriage ordered for her ladyship was at the door. They had met in Paris by the merest chance, in the court of an inn, after a separation of years, just as Lady Greyswood was going home. She had been to Aix-les-Bains early in the season, and was resting on her way back to England. Mrs. Knocker and the General, bringing their eastern exile to a close, had arrived only the night before from Marseilles, and were to wait in Paris for their children, a tall girl and two younger boys, who, inevitably dissociated from their parents, had been for the past 2 years with a devoted aunt, their father's maiden sister, at Heidelberg. The reunion of the family was to take place with jollity in Paris, whither this good lady was now hurrying with her drilled and demoralized charges. Mrs. Knocker had come to England to see them 2 years before, and the period at Heidelberg had been planned during this visit. With the termination of her husband's service, a new life opened before them all, and they had plans of comprehensive rejoicing for the summer. Plans involving, however, a continuance for a few months of useful foreign opportunities, during which various questions connected with the organization of a final home in England were practically to be dealt with. There was to be a salubrious house on the continent.